does the harbour master have his own vessel?
Yes, yeah. See, well, of course, in the early days, all they had were blessed rowing boats, nothing else at all. And then when Vic Sheath took over, October 1970. Bill Huxley was died in June 70. Poor old Bill, they found him dead. And then he had one of the guys temporarily took over for 3 months. Scott paid some money to look after the show. And then Vic Sheath was appointed. Well, Vera Vic, as I said, was involved with the sailing clubs at Cowes and that, or Gurnard. Yeah, well, Vic being a voting man, you see, and having a little bit of influence on the councillors, he knew if he had a word in the ear of the Public Works Chairman or the Harbour Subcommittee Chairman, he said, we definitely need a boat because we're starting to create moorings down the Folly. And you can't expect us, if there's a boat in trouble, you can't expect us to keep driving down the Folly in a car and rowing out to a rowing boat. And look at the money we're bringing in from these moorings at the Folly. And they said, well, that makes sense, yeah. So they bought this ex-naval cutter, which is not so grand as what it sounded. It was a blessed old wooden thing, which is always leaking. And we had that. And of course, that was moored at Newport. But of course, don't forget, if you're moored at Newport, you want to get to the Folly, you've got to get out about 3 hours either side of town, otherwise you won't get out of Newport. If you come afloat about 3 hours before, you've got 6 hours to get to Folly and back, which is usually plenty of time to do some work down there. So we had that boat, of course, towards the end, after Vic went, I suppose I was pushing that boat to its limits. I remember one night, there was a dredger called the DCI Prowl. The biggest boat ever to come up to Newport was Ballast. She's an ex-tank landing craft, 195 feet long. And she'd come up at night, only just out of the water where she's heavy loaded, and she'd come up or glide at her in the night, you wouldn't see her coming. That's what happened to two young fishermen at Case some years ago. She came up above the floating bridge. They had a net across the river up by Kingston. They never heard that boat coming because she had very quiet engines. And if you look back towards Cowes, all you can see were the backdrop of lights. And of course, by the time they saw her navigation lights, those navigation lights were on the wheelhouse. But that's 195 foot back. By the time they seen those lights, the boat went right through their nets, pulled one of these lads in, wrapped them around the neck and drained him. Yeah, I remember that night. And one night she came up there and I had a phone call from someone and said, would I go down? The DCI Prowl is stuck in the middle of the river. It'd never get to Newport. And they said he wants to go back down to the cement mills. Well, I goes down with our launch and spoke to the captain, was a funny sort of guy, I didn't get on with him anyhow. And, you got to move some more money at this river, I'll never get up there. I said, it's not a coast of that, pal, I said. I said, you've got to have the vessel to fit the river, not the other way about. We can't deepen the river to fit and accommodate every boat. You're loading the ship down too much. You've been coming here for 5 years. You know on this tide, you'd never get to Newport without a amount of material in. He didn't like what I said. He said, well, anyway, can you tow us back down the cement mills? He couldn't turn around, so I had to tow him backwards. And so as I towed him backwards, you see, once you get a boat moving, you don't need a lot to keep it moving on the water. But every now and again, as I moved her, she sheered that way. And there was no communication, no radio or nothing. And every now and again, I was slacking my tow line and he had to go ahead to straighten her up. It took me 2.5 hours to get down there, down to cement mills that night. 3 o'clock in the morning, I got him alongside. I was on my own. And of course, the engine was getting hot on that boat. And the post, towing post was really pulled out of the boat. Because he's 195 foot long, this launch is only 28 foot wooden boat. And coming back up the river by the rowing club, the engine cut out, dead. And I thought to myself, there I was, 3 o'clock in the morning, the engine stopped. And I thought, what the hell am I going to do? And it wasn't some years later, I thought to myself, this is odd. Because of all the fatalities in the river, the majority of them seem to appear in an area like Dodner, from Newport Rowing Club, down as far as the Folly. And I thought, there's so many things happen there, suicides in particular. There's even the famous 1928 Dodner murder, which is well documented in the county presses. So all these events happened, and people was found dead floating in the river. And that night at 3 o'clock, winter's night, the engine stopped, and I thought to myself, am I next? You know, I thought, am I next? And everything went quiet. And I thought, I'm here on my own. And I thought, I'm in Donder. But after a while, I let the boat sort of float a bit on its own. The tide wouldn't move much. And I'm out, and the bloody engine started again. And I got home. But for a second, I wondered about that.
So what happened to your old launch then?
Well, the old launch got worse and worse. And of course, I worked it too hard, really. Because, I mean, we worked, trying the dredgers about what's done it. And she sunk several times. I sunk her several times up in Newport. We kept patching her up. And then when we were Medina Borough Council, we had a guy called Jerry Walker. He was probably the best manager I ever had. He lives along Kate's Front now, in a house called Landfall, right along Gurnier, by that, on the front there. He was a yachtsman, and I said to him, he said, well, I'll put in some, see if we can get a new boat for you, Wayne. I didn't think there was much chance of that. And in 1987, that's when I had the slip disc, we had a 25-foot boat built on in that shed called East Keys. I put the sloop in, a wooden bridge. And there was a guy called Ivor Verlander. He was building boats there, not many. And he built us that boat brand new. Of course, all that was recovering from the slip disc. I always remember they wanted me to bring it back to Newport, of course. Well, I remember I caught the bus. Nobody took me down there. I caught the bus to the sloop in at Wootton, and I went and picked up the boat, and I drove the boat out of Wootton Creek all the way around Osborne Bay back to Newport. And that was my 87. And that's the same boat we got now.